Now I would like to introduce our second speaker, Steve from Pennsylvania.
Ag name Steve. This is it, your last speaker. They can turn off the clock. Right? Got a plane to catch, it's a go. Okay? Actually, you know, I thought being the last speaker or the next to the last speaker wasn't going to be that bad, but you're still here. I thought you had left, would have left by now and made this easier on me. But you're still here. It's an honor. I'd like to thank WCNA 33 for asking me to share. Sharing at an NA meeting is always an honor. It's the highest aspiration of the heart. Okay, what else is there to do than to help another person? I'm glad that my God brought me here. I'd like to thank my God first and foremost. And I'm really not, the people ask me, am I nervous? I'm always a little bit nervous. But I know that I pray hard and God's going to do the job. God brought me here. What you'll hear up here from me are my opinions, my experiences, and if you disagree with those, that's okay. You have the right to be wrong. I've had a wonderful experience over the last couple weeks. My anniversary was Monday, 27 years. And it's just been an awesome ride. It's true what they say. It gets greater later. It just keeps getting better. Unbelievable. Is that on my anniversary, we were in Paris. I was asked to share at a meeting in Paris. And it was just, man, I was just pumped. What an anniversary present. To be able to share the message. I met so many great people while I was here from so many different countries. And I sat back there, I looked at the screen. Even though I didn't understand the language, I knew what they were saying. Okay? It talks about that in We Do Recover. It talks about that wordless language of recognition, which is empathy, which we all understand in each other. And that message came through to me here. My home group's also on Sunday. Okay, I come from the Pasna area in the tri-state region. Some of my home group members are here. My home group's the Sunday Action Group. We meet 9 o'clock Sunday morning. Okay? And we have a lot of institutions and a lot of different programs come to that meeting. It's an opportunity to give it away. Okay. The home group is the highest level of service in Narcotics Anonymous. Okay. All levels of service are important to us as a whole. But that's where the newcomer comes, to the home group. And I love serving at my home group. Okay. I was born and raised in the city of Pittsburgh. Okay. Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. U.S. of A. Okay. I was raised under the rage of an addicted family. Everybody in my family uses. Everybody. Except me. Okay? Just for today. Okay? I grew up in an extremely poor neighborhood. in a housing project in a part of the city. And so all my neighbors seemed to use too. Okay. It was a partying neighborhood, let me tell you. When I'd go out my door as an 8-year-old kid and I would go into the playground, there would be spent gimmicks on the ground, broken wine bottles, Muscatel bottles, used condoms. And it became a way of life early on. Okay. I was fed alcohol from an early age, like many of us. If I was sick, I was given a little alcohol. When my parents had parties, I wanted it. I wanted the alcohol, and they forbid me to have it until they got loosened up. Then they'd say, give the kid a little bit. And between me and my mother, it would be a struggle for her to get that glass back. Okay. But I start using what I call professionally around the age of 12 and a half. Okay. This is where I learned the tools of our trade. Okay. How to use the phone, how to connect, make my connections, how to get money, and how to go out and get it up in me at 12 and a half years old. And I did it. I lived in a neighborhood. It was a clearinghouse for drugs. Okay. From early on, I used whatever came through that neighborhood. We use uppers, downers, secondols, twonols, carbitols, nebutols, all the alls. Okay? We sniffed glue, drank liquor, smoked dope, ate LSD, ate mescaline. Whatever comes through there, we would do. I still never understood why I used that LSD and that mescaline. I'd like it for the first hour, then it just scare the hell out of me for the next 12 hours. Right? This isn't really about using. Okay? The message here isn't about using. I know one thing for sure about everybody in this room. You know how to use. Okay? This message is about being clean. Is that, you know, my life got so bad at an early age, I had to get away. And in United States, we have a number of different armed forces. We have, and I like to think that I joined the elite, the United States Marine Corps, right? Yeah, I hear you. Settle down in there. Okay. I know what you were like in there. I was there too. Drug addict just like me. Just lucky we probably got kicked out. But they said they were looking for a few good men. They scraped the bottom of the barrel when they found me. Right? But you know what? I came here when I was in the Marine Corps. I was in Barcelona. I was in Seville. I was in Naples, Beirut, Izmir, and I learned the international combination to COP. Okay? What you do is you find a taxi driver, or you get the taxi driver to take you to the prostitute, and the prostitute take you to the drugs. Okay? Today, the international combination to be clean, if you can't find a meeting list or you can't find it listed, you call the rehab, the closest rehab, they'll tell you where the meeting is. Okay? And looking back at my time in the Marine Corps, I've been in a lot of different institutions. I've been in halfway house a couple times, detox a number of times, psychiatric units, rehabs. I'm probably one of the few addicts that likes psychiatric institutions. What's not to like for an addict like me, right? Clean beds, drugs 3 times a day, and food, right? I seen this counselor one time, and he says, this isn't working for you out on the street. You got to go to rehab. He showed me a picture of the rehab. I try not to get too excited. I was homeless. He showed me a picture on the brochure. People playing volleyball. They playing checkers and chess. Nice lounge. I tried not to get too excited, but I wanted to ask him, when could I leave, right? That was I went into these places. That was my vacation. Nobody knew where I was, right? You didn't get, where's my money, okay? You didn't get mail. I hated mail. I never got any good mail. I don't know about you. I got shut off notices, final notices. Like many people, I'm fortunate. I got clean my first time. Clean, I said. I didn't say I got recovery. Okay. When I was 26 years old. And I actually got somewhere around a year clean. Okay, because I was smoking pot. When I first start coming, in my mind, I thought that was okay, and I already put my clean date on a cigarette lighter. I went to a meeting, guy says, you know pot counts? And I was going to change the cigarette lighter day, right? And so what happened is I tried to build something on a lie. And where I come from in the beginning, that was such a little lie, because I told whoppers. By the way, I still lie, I still cheat, and I still steal. Just to let you know, with 27 years. I just don't do it on the levels I used to do it. Right? The other part of that is I don't want to do it. Okay? So what happened is that almost year, what it did is it taught me the difference between clean time and recovery. Being clean is far different than being in recovery. And some days, even today, some days I'm just clean, and some days I'm in recovery today, baby. I'm there. I got your love. And one thing, when I was clean for that year, I realized I was arrested numerous times, and I had a violent history where I was always being the victim. I was always the one that got hurt somehow. So I always ended up in a hospital emergency room, and I realized just by the virtue of coming to Narcotics Anonymous that I didn't get arrested. I realized that. Just by not using, I didn't go to the hospital. I got trust, self-esteem, self-worth, just by not using the drug. Okay? I got a girlfriend, too. Okay? I met her in the rehab. Okay? I know you know. is she, we wanted to recover together. She came to the halfway house with me. I got kicked out of the halfway house. She got to stay. Okay? I didn't use... Okay, they had a rule there about relationships. And I didn't tell either. So what happened, though, she followed me back. This was outside the city. She followed me back to Pittsburgh, and we went to meetings together every day. We, you know, we were there arm in arm, man, kissing, man. You know, I would get her a coffee. And what we did is we shielded each other from what was here. Okay? I was using her to stay clean. And, you know, one day, I couldn't find her. Man. I needed her, man. I looked around, she's gone. Right? And she had relapsed, and she was using with, you know, she was running around with some other guy. And I went crazy. You know, what I did is I found myself in front of a police station in a knife fight with a guy. Okay, that's the old way to handle problems. I ended up relapsing. When I relapsed, I had so much pain. I didn't have a sponsor. I had a sponsor in name only. Everybody knew the sponsor, so when I would tell them who my sponsor was, they would say, you got a great sponsor. Don't ask me if I ever called them. Okay? So I didn't share, and what happened is that I went out and I used 3 months. Okay? Rested 3 times, in a hospital 3 times. The last time I used, a guy killed me. Okay, really, he took the spirit out of me and killed it dead. Okay, what happened is he stabbed me 4 times. And the last time he stabbed me in the chest. And when the knife went in, my lung collapsed, and I was bleeding pretty bad. And I can remember thinking, good. I was a little bit afraid to die, but at the same time I was feeling good, because I don't want to live like this anymore. Okay. I went into a trauma unit, and when I was in there, an intensive care unit for 2 weeks, and I had a drug habit. Okay, they maintained my drug habit. When I was in there, you know who came to see me? You. You came to see me. Every day you came to see me. You brought me cigarettes when there was oxygen in the room. You brought me candy, but most of all, you brought me love. Okay? That's one of the most beautiful things about this fellowship that I'll never get over. When everybody else is telling us, go away, don't come here ever again, we don't want you, you're no good, we walk into that meeting and we hear, we love you. Come on in. Keep coming back. I got a second chance of this. Many people don't get a second chance of this. I lost my older brother to this disease at 30. He was 31 years old. I got a younger brother. He's a hope to die Dauphine. he can't stay clean for the life of him. I got a sister. She can't stay clean. I got an 86-year-old father. He tells me, save your own soul, leave me alone. Okay? Quit trying to save me. I'm fortunate that I'm here. Okay? I'm fortunate that I was able to come back to the program. It's hard to come back to this program after a relapse. Okay? I felt so much guilt, shame, and remorse. Many people welcomed me and said, come on back. We love you. Okay? Others didn't. If you're in that position, don't listen to the others. Listen to the love. Okay? After my relapse, NA was the last place I wanted to come. But the reason I came, because I know the truth. This is where addicts come to get and stay clean. Without a doubt. If there was another place, I would have went there. But I knew the truth. This works. Okay? I was able to go back. I went back in the halfway house. And I began to come into these meetings. And I began to learn about recovery. Some essentials of recovery for me are the home group. Okay? I was taught early on that one should never be homeless in NA. Okay? I got an NA house. That's where I host a fellowship. That's where I welcome the newcomer. That's where I make coffee. I give out key tags. I chair the meeting. I put the chairs down. Okay? If you're new and they ask you to make the coffee, my sponsor told me this, just remember it's not a crack pipe. You don't fill it to the top. Okay. Follow the directions. Okay. I got a sponsor. Okay. If you're like me, okay, I'm going to share this experience with you. It might not be a good idea to bring your sponsor on a European trip. He might damper the fun you want to have. Okay. On the other hand, probably going to keep you out of trouble. Okay. But I talked to my sponsor. I've had the same sponsor for 24 years, 23 years, something like that. I go to meetings. I believe the literature when it says those who keep coming to meetings regularly stay clean. I believe that. I believe the literature when it talks about vigilance. Okay, with vigilance, I'll keep and stay clean and keep my recovery fresh. I believe that. I talked to my sponsor as much now as I did in the beginning. As he woke up with me this morning. Okay. We had separate beds. I have a God that I pray to on my knees every morning. I got a great God. I was taught early to get on my knees. It's getting humble before God. There's no true change. We learn this in our seventh step. There's no true change without humility. It's not coming. Humility... A willingness and humility are key ingredients to change. Is that So getting down on my knees and humbly asking God to keep me clean today, and that in taking that third step, take my will and my life, guide me in my recovery, show me how to live, is it sets me right for the day. Okay. I sponsor people. By the way, there's two types of people you sponsor, right? You sponsor the easy people, and you sponsor hard people, right? Easy people are easy because they never call you, right? I can sponsor a lot of them, okay? I can't tell you all the things that have happened to me in this fellowship. As I'm like many others, I went back and got smart. Not too smart for this fellowship, though. I never want to be too smart, too rich, too whatever to come here. I'm glad I'm dumb enough to keep coming. I was there to welcome my children into the world. My children don't know about that other stuff. They never seen it. Okay? I had a clean wedding. You came to my wedding. Okay? Clean wedding. It was beautiful. Okay? I've been married 20 years. Okay? My wife recently contracted breast cancer. Okay, is that she's also an addict. She's recovering now and doing very well, only because of God in this fellowship. Okay, is I've never been afraid about exposing my children to you. I've never shielded my children from this fellowship. They know this fellowship. And they know you. I have a disease. They may get the disease. Why would I not want them to have the answer? I had a sponsor. One time I went to hear him share at the rehab. He went up to this rehab and he went to share the message. And he, after he was a powerful speaker. And when he got done, he was swamped. People were all over him. And I had like 30 days clean. I said, "You better get away from my sponsor, man. Oh, my sponsor, man." Still, I rode up with him. I was very honored that I rode up with him. And I was so jealous and envious, I was like, I didn't want them near my sponsor, right? So when they said that, all of a sudden the nurse came over to the loudspeaker and said, "It's medication time." And shoo, man. They left my sponsor, right? I walked up to him and I said, "Tony, that was such a great message." And he reached down in his pocket and he went deep into his pocket and he pulled something out. And he said, "Open your hand up." I said, "Well, what is it?" He said, "Just open your hand up." So I opened my hand up. He said, "Close your hand." I said, "It doesn't feel like anything's in there, Tony." He said, "Yeah." He says, "It's magic." Right? He said, "Steve, with that magic, all your wants, hopes, and dreams will come to pass." I kind of didn't believe him, right? But I played around, I played along with it, and so I said, "Okay." So I took the magic. I said, "I'm going to put this in my pocket. I'm going to keep it safe." right? He said, wait, Steve. He said, there's a condition on that magic. He said, in order to keep it, you got to give it away. You want it? You want it? I got it. You got it. Here it is.